Greg Farrell is the president and CEO of Farrell Wealth and is a registered representative with and securities offered through LPL Financial. Member FINRA, SIPC insurance products offered through LPL Financial or its licensed affiliates. The opinions of Greg and his guests are merely opinions. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your attorney, accountant, and financial advisor or tax advisor prior to investing.
Well, good morning. Welcome to Money Matters with Greg. I'm Greg Farrell, CEO and president of Farrell Wealth. It's a wealth management firm here locally in Valparaiso, Indiana, and a registered financial advisor, and we talk money on this show. Talk about how to save money, how to keep some of your money, and try to help you invest your money wisely in some of the places that are out there today in the landscape of the markets out there. We talk the markets, we talk some value, we talk some good topics here to be able to help you save those hard-earned dollars that you work so hard for. And I want to thank WVLP, always fantastic to be here and to be on the show. The show's been a little over, right about 2 years running now. We do Mondays at 10 a.m. Central here on WVLP.org. You can stream us on WVLP.org, but it is 103.1 FM. And you can also find us on our website, farrellwealth.com. You can stream us there as well. So I want to be able to thank Greg Kovach for being in here today, the engineer. He is in mourning. He is a Pittsburgh Steelers fan, and it was a very unfortunate showing by a number of teams out there. I'm sure many of the Green Bay Packers fans out there, we in this northwestern Indiana area, many of us are Bears fans. Weren't necessarily rooting. I wasn't really rooting against the Packers, but I was rooting for a better game, and that didn't necessarily happen. So that was unfortunate. Really, both the games were unfortunate. But it looks like we get to overhype and overanalyze and overproduce more than enough content out there about the Super Bowl. So we hope that all the fans out there are excited and looking forward towards a great trip down to Houston to where the Super Bowl will be. So get your square pools ready and your game plan ready. You've got 2 weeks to be able to figure out who you're going to root for, if you are going to root for either of the teams or if you're just going to watch the commercials and just see what's out there. But wanted to mention the games over the weekend, and hope you had a fantastic weekend here in January. We've had some great weather in the Midwest. It's been fantastic. Really excited about that. We always talk about how much we love the Midwest on this show, and we love Valparaiso. It's a great town. So I wanted to be able to mention that. It's been we had obviously some rain, but the sun came out over the weekend, which was really, really nice. And we've had some pretty solid days here in January, which is great. So along those lines, just as far as moving forward, and here we are in January already, wanted to talk about the markets and what's going on in the markets. Obviously, there was an inauguration on Friday, and then a march, of course, so we have to mention on Saturday, and really just trying to talk about what the markets mind and what they care about here on this show. We try to basically stay politically agnostic, and it's really not to our advantage in either way, but more importantly, just educating everyone out there and getting everybody's the information to where they can navigate the markets and try to figure out which way to go. So we really keep our focus on money and how we can make some more money for you and help you invest wisely. So with that being said, wanted to kind of talk about the markets, and I do apologize. I am fighting through a cold here, so if I sound like a frog, I'm sorry, but I feel well enough to be able to run the show today, so I just wanted to be able to – I felt extremely important to be able to have a live show for this week just to update everybody on what's going on there. It is just extremely interesting how the markets have been moving and to which way to go overall, it's just been it's been interesting to say the least. It's going to be a very interesting year in 2017, and I think it's being as nimble as possible and being as flexible as possible, and also making sure that you are prudent in your information, whether it be this show or any other shows out there, making sure that you are listening and trying to find out as much as you can before you invest. With that being said, you can find us on Twitter, at Farrell Wealth. Certainly reach out to us at any time. You can also find us on iTunes. We have a number of over 80 shows or so on iTunes about a number of different topics that are out there. You can find us on Facebook as well. Farrell Wealth, F-A-R-R-A-L-L is how we spell it. And you can find us on Facebook as well, as far as gathering information and making sure that you are investing wisely. In the stock market, just recently, just want to be able to talk about, we talked last show about our outlook for 2017 and where we think some of the places you want to be able to go towards your investing. Can always talk towards that, and happy to do so. You can certainly tweet us ideas and questions. We talked a lot about that as far as our outlook for 2017. But with that being said, let's go a little bit more micro and just see what's happening out there today. Now, stocks today are moving lower to kind of begin this busy earnings week. This is going to be a very busy earnings week. We talked a lot about that in the last show. But U.S. equities are slightly lower in the early trading, starting off really this busy week. And President Trump's first official week in office, the S&P edged down slightly last week, with both healthcare and financials posting losses of at least 1.5%. Consumer staples were only notable, really the only notable outperformer. They climbed 2.1%, and stocks finished mixed overnight in Asia. Over Sunday night, Japan's Nikkei was down 1.3%, which dropped sharply amid a strengthening yen, while the Shanghai Composite was up 0.4%, and the Hang Seng was only up 0.1%. European markets are mostly lower in the afternoon trading, as the UK's FTSE was down 0.5%, and it is leading the way lower on the heels of the multi-week rally that included 15 consecutive higher closes for the FTSE. So what's going on there with Brexit and the moves to sort of ease the worries has certainly been a very positive. And finally, the yield on the 10-year note is down slightly to 2.46%. Oil is at $52.42 a barrel, and that is up 1.5% following encouraging comments on supply from Saudi Arabia's energy minister. And gold is at $12.11 an ounce and is higher by 0.5%. So with that being said, it's really been a good start to the earnings seasons for financials, but little fourth quarter upside. There's 62 S&P 500 companies have reported results thus far, and the earnings 65% and revenue 44% beat rates that are both slightly disappointing relative to the current recent trends based on Thomson data. Other sources have really different numbers, but as a result, the growth rate at 6.3% is only marginally higher than estimates at quarter end, which is 6.3. If you look at the sectors overall, financials upside, it really has been offset by shortfalls in energy and consumer discretionary companies. Guidance has generally been good, really, as the S&P 500 estimates for 2017 have held steady on energy increases, which, although it's early in the season, that's all a positive in the development, kind of given the historical pattern of the reductions in estimates. And this week is going to be a busy one. There's over 70 S&P 500 companies reporting overall. Now, GDP and the Fed, the quiet period, PMIs are all on tap this weekend or this week. So the Federal Reserve will honor its unofficial quiet period ahead of next week's FOMC meeting. So it'll be very quiet in regards to the Federal Reserve, but market participants will have plenty to digest nonetheless, especially on the political front. President Trump's cabinet appointees continue their confrontation or their confirmation process. Well, confrontation process as well in the U.S. Senate, and the U.K. Supreme Court is expected to make a key ruling on Brexit on Tuesday of this week, January 24th. So on the data front, you have fourth quarter GDP reports in the U.S. and the U.K., and those are likely to really get top billing from the media. But the manufacturing PMIs for January 2017 and the U.S., U.K., Eurozone, and Japan are all forward-looking and very, very important, if not more important overall. You look at the Fed nowcast tracking to 2.5% for the first estimate of quarter four GDP coming at the end of this week. The Atlanta Federal Reserve and the New York Fed are now both producing nowcast regularly, and they're updated with that data-driven models that provide forecasts of the quarter's gross domestic product starting months before the actual release. So it's interesting to see now there's this new trend for many of the individual Feds to sort of pre-announce their possible GDP numbers. So that'll affect the markets as well. You want to be watching those. But you really want to take the average of the two and nowcast models. And GDP for the fourth quarter of 2017 is tracking to a solid 2.5%. And that's helped by a pickup in business spending that you've seen, and business confidence has been increasing, which is just recently coming about in the last 2 or 3 months. Now, nowcast really have been no more or less accurate than the consensus forecast, but can really provide a valuable insight on how GDP expectations are sort of evolving. With that being said, we're looking at fourth quarter earnings with over 70 some S&P 500 companies coming out today and are coming out this week. It's very, very important that you're following those trends and seeing what you can do to take advantage of the investments that are out there and opportunities. So that's our update on the market. I want to kind of bleed into different ways here in 2017 you can save some money. I have a great report that comes from americasaves.org. It's a fantastic website that really talks about a number of different things as far as savings. We're going to work our way through that here in the next couple minutes. But it gives us a chance to kind of take a break, and just want to thank everybody for the past couple years and the opportunities we've had here to be able to produce this show. Money Matters with Greg here on WVLP. It has just been a privilege and an honor to be able to have an opportunity to be able to do what we do here and hopefully help you and help you and your family. That's really why we started the show. Wanted to teach a little and educate. Since this time, since launching this show, I have had the opportunity to speak to a number of different high schools and a number of different colleges, college athletes, and help educate on the financial literacy side of things to hopefully help people save some money. I've really worked hard at increasing awareness with many of our teachers. I've had the opportunity to give classes to either high school teachers or middle school teachers, even elementary school teachers that are trying to save money and also can help teach our youth some of the things that are out there that are used on this show and the tactics that are used on this show to basically make a plan and work the plan. Still live to this day by the motto that my father taught myself and my brothers in raising us, is always make a plan, work the plan. And you can, I always live my life to that to this day. You always want to make that plan. And that's what we try to do on this show, is try to help you make that plan. Now, with that said, we'd like to be able to talk about some of the ways we can actually help you save some money. And this report is on americasaves.org. It's for savers. It's make a plan on how to save money. And it is listed as the 54 ways to save money, and that's what we're going to talk about today. I figured it would be a great way to be able to kind of talk about here on the show move along as we just have some different categories that might be able to help you save some money. Again, You can find us on Twitter at Farrell Wealth. You can also find us on the website, farrellwealth.com, and you can also catch us on iTunes by searching Money Matters with Greg in the podcast. And then you can also check us on streaming at WVLP.org, 103.1 FM here at WVLP FM in Valparaiso, Indiana. Some of the general saving tips we're going to talk about is we always mentioned building an emergency fund. It can make really all the difference. Low-income families with at least $500 in an emergency fund are better off financially than moderate-income families that have less saved up. So you want to really want to learn about those emergency funds, and you can talk about setting those goals at that at americasaves.org. But one way to be able to help establish an emergency fund is establishing your zero. We talk about this a lot in the wealth management world and being able to make sure that you have a zero and teaching you about what is your zero. Some people's zero really is zero. Some people's zero is negative. We need you to be able to be thinking about, we'd like you to be thinking that your zero is at least 3 to 6 months of salary. So if something does happen that you either lose your job or your furnace breaks, you have enough money established in an emergency fund that you can touch it and you can put some of that money away or actually use some of that money for those unforeseen circumstances. Now, what that number is in your head all depends, whether it be $5,000 or $10,000 or even $50,000. We have a client in the wealth management firm that we have at Farrell Wealth whose zero is a little over $1 million. Loves to be able to have $1 million saved in an account and will not invest it any other way but with just cash-like instruments because they want to be able to write a check at any time. It's their goal that they want to be able to have. As crazy as it sounds at sometimes, that's just that's their zero. And everybody's zero is different. So they are fortunate enough to be able to have their zero be $1 million and they know that they're okay. It is an extremely high net worth family, but that's what keeps them up at night, and that's what gets them good rest is knowing that they could write a check. So what is your keep you up at night number? Think about it. Figure it out and work to try to save up what that is. So one of the ways to be able to help you save towards that emergency fund is establishing a budget. So are you looking for an easy way to kind of begin? Really, on the first day of each new month is you want to get a receipt for everything you kind of purchase. It's a great way to be able to start. You want to stack those receipts into categories like restaurants, groceries, personal care, and really at the end of the month, you're able to kind of clearly see where the money's going. That's a simple way that a lot of people use envelopes as well. You can put envelopes in, make envelopes for your gas and heating. You can make an envelope for your cable and cell phone bills, whatever it might be that makes you help. But these, you can budget with cash and these envelopes. If you have trouble really with overspending, try the envelope budget system where you just sort of set an amount of cash for most spending. And once the cash is gone, it's gone. So you sort of learn about this, the budget system, and how to use the envelope budget system on americasaves.org. It's a great way to be able to kind of categorize and segment out how you actually can save some money. So you also don't want to just save money. You want to save overall. And there's a difference between saving money and saving money for your future. So don't just spend less, but put the money you save into savings accounts to really plan for college expenses, retirement, or emergencies that can save, that can leave you financially better off. You know, you're sort of those things that you're out there as far as establishing are saving money for yourselves and paying yourself first. It's really the premise of, especially in the entrepreneurial world that we live in and the business owner world that we live in, many business owners and entrepreneurs do not pay themselves first. They pay others first. And this is a great way to be able to make sure when you set a goal to save for yourself overall. And that helps to, once again, add that saving automatically, which you really set up an automatic savings, is the easiest and the most effective way to save. This has to do with your 401k contributions or your 403b or your 457 contributions. that you're contributing on a regular basis, and you make sure that it comes out of your paycheck so you don't even see it. And that's a great way to be able to kind of put some extra cash out of sight and out of mind overall. And every pay period, you really want to be able to have your employer deduct a certain amount of from your paycheck and transfer it to a retirement or a savings account. You can always ask your HR representative for more details on how to set this up, but really, either that or every month have your bank account or your credit union transfer a fixed amount from checking account to a savings account or an investment account. And it's easily done, especially nowadays. It's very easily done, much more so than it was 10 or 20 years ago. You really want to aim, with that being said, you want to aim towards a short-term savings goal and make a goal such as setting aside $20 a week or month rather than longer-term savings goals. We talk in our world at the ability to save at 3 to 7 years. Many of our clients don't have the ability to be able to think beyond 7 years, and that certainly makes sense for in a lot of ways because most people just can't think that far beyond. So we try to think short-term savings goals as very, very short, a week, a month, 6 months, a year. What is our goal to have in savings at the end of 2017? That would be a great way to be able to say, all right, you know what, I'm going to make a determined effort to put away $20 a month or even $100 a month into a savings plan. So I know I can build up that emergency fund, but by the end of 2017, I have a number of people that, or a number of dollars saved up that is just a solid goal. So you want to be able to make the plan, work the plan. Well, let's just set that goal here to 2017 at adding a certain amount of money to a savings account and just getting that cash emergency fund built up. So then really want to start saving for that retirement as early as possible. We always talk about making sure that you're doing it earlier rather than later. And few people get rich through their wages alone. It's really the miracle of compounding interest. We talk a lot about this on the show, and earning interest on interest over the years and money that makes more money is really our favorite kind of money. That builds wealth. That builds because time is on your side. The youngest workers are really in the best position to save for retirement. And you really want to be putting money away, even if it's just a little, into an account or a retirement account and having these things all set up. Along those lines, we always talk about money that makes money. Well, what about money that's given to you that you refuse to take? Well, most employers actually have matches in your retirement plans, and that is free money. So two different kinds of money that we love here on this show is money that makes money and free money. So free money is really taking advantage of your employer matches in your retirement plan. Often as an incentive, employers will match a certain amount and of what you save in a retirement plan, such as a 401k. And if you don't take full advantage of this, you're really leaving money on the table. So want to be able to make sure that you're taking advantage of the free money that's out there that's offered to you. Another way is, as we come into tax season here on April 15th, you really want to save those windfalls and tax refunds if you're able to get one. But every time you receive a windfall, such as a work bonus, inheritance, cost winnings, contest winnings, or tax refund, really just want to put a portion into your savings account to be able to make sure that you're building that zero up as much as you can. It's a great way to be able to make sure that you are putting away more money. And then just making a savings plan. You know, those with a savings plan are twice as likely to save successfully. And that's really where America Saves comes in. That is on the website that I'm talking about here today. If you take the America Saves pledge, it'll help you set up a goal to make a plan. And it doesn't stop there. America Saves really helps you keep motivated with information, advice, and tips, reminders to help you reach your savings goal. Basically, you take the pledge, and you can take it on their website. Take the America Saves pledge at americasaves.org, and you can basically keep yourself accountable and hold yourself accountable to your savings goals. And then, you know, lastly, you really want to save your loose change. I mean, I know it sounds silly, but really, putting aside 50 cents every year will get you 40% of the way to a $500 emergency fund. And really, some banks, credit unions, or even apps offer programs that round your purchases to the nearest dollar and put that money in a separate savings account, which is fantastic. So you really want to be able to be thinking about those sorts of things. There's a number of different apps, including Acorn, that is an app that rounds every purchase you'd make up to an even number, and that's a great way to be able to put money away. So with that being said, we're going to talk a lot about these 54 different ways that we can help you save some money, but we've come up here on the break here, and Greg's come in to be able to launch, what are we listening to today?
JT.
Little JT, James Taylor for you, Money, 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 is coming right at you. We're going to get a sip of coffee and take a quick break. We'll be right back in a bit. The show's Money Matters with Greg. I'm Greg Farrell, CEO and President, Financial Advisor here at WVLP.org. We're talking money on the show, hopefully saving you some money, and hopefully helping you plan for your future. We'll be right back in a bit. Thanks.
Money, 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 money. From that money machine, now you can better your manhood by it. You can get your children to try it. You can bring your enemies to their knees, with the impossible exception of the North to get the beast. You take a strong hit from the money machine.
From that money machine.
IBM, Alphabell, CIO, and all the king man. When I began the game, see me singing about fire and rain. Let me just say it again, I've seen fives and I've seen tens. It was a strong hit from the money machine. Sail up top, on top of the wood. Strong hit, baby, from that money machine.
All right, thank you, JT. The show's Money Matters with Greg at 103.1 FM WVLP. And we talk money on this show, trying to save you some money and help you make some money overall as we talk about this, you know, basically all things money in the next half an hour. We've gone about a half an hour here so far just talking about the market and what's going on right now with the overall market and maybe some of the places you might want to be investing your money. And then also talking today here on the 54 ways that you can save some money that comes from AmericaSaves.org. I wanted to be able to kind of review this with you and just bring this to you. If you have never read it before, I highly recommend you do. You can find it at AmericaSaves.org. You can find us on Twitter at FarrellWealth.com at Farrell Wealth, and tweet us today. Ideas in the show and comments, certainly anything you want as far as questions. You can also find us at Facebook at Farrell Wealth, and then also here at the show, 219-476-9000 is the call-in for Greg. You can reach Greg at the Greg Kovach. He spells his name wrong. He's got a bunch of G's. He's got way too many G's in his name. But you can certainly talk to him and patch him through. So, hey, we're going to talk some more things about these 54 ways to be able to save some money. I hope this is helping you out there and making sure that we remind you that how to be able to start your 2017 off in the right way and making sure that by the end of this year, we talk again and have this conversation, and hopefully you are well on your way towards financial security and financial independence. One of the things we always like to be able to talk about is the 24-hour rule. Now, this rule helps sort of avoid purchasing expensive and unnecessary items on impulse. This is a sort of a think-over rule of each non-essential purchase for at least 24 hours. This is particularly easy when you really want to, you know, you're shopping online, because you can add items to your cart or wish list and just come back to them a day later. And it makes you reconsider all those things before you push submit. I've used this a number of times personally, and I highly recommend you do too. This 24-hour rule really gets you a chance to think of whether you need something or if you just want it. These are major decisions, decision-making, and every dollar counts. So think about the 24-hour rule. Think about just pushing pause. We also highly recommend putting the 24-hour rule into effect at work when you're thinking about sending that scathing email to that coworker or boss. Always save as draft, and that never hurts. It's always when you submit when it does. So think about your purchases and also think about your emails by saving as draft. So those are two different recommendations. Use the 24-hour rule and save as draft at work. And then, look, it's not all about pain. You want to treat yourself overall, but you just want to use all these things as an opportunity to save. You can match the cost of your non-essential sort of indulgences in savings. If you want to be able to buy that cup of coffee at Starbucks and you always splurge on that smoothie while running errands, you know, put the same amount in your savings account and think of it this way. If you can't afford to save the matching amount that you buy, you can't afford the treat either. So this is a great way to be able to kind of just think about, look, if I'm buying a $3 cup of coffee, maybe I should put another $3 and pay myself and put some money away as well. You want to calculate your purchases by hours worked instead of cost. It's a great recommendation because everyone loves work. I'm sure you out there love your work and are just enamored by your work and can't wait to show up on Monday morning to work. But if you take the amount of an item you're considering purchasing and you divide it by your hourly wage, it really helps you decide as to what your what the worth of that item is. I mean, if it's a $50 pair of shoes and you make $10 an hour, you know, ask yourself if these shoes are really worth 5 long hours of work, and you might want to reconsider. So that's a great way to be able to sort of calculate your purchases by hours worked instead of overall cost. Another recommendation would be to unsubscribe. Look, avoid the temptation by unsubscribing from marketing emails to stores you spend the most money at overall. And then by law, you know, each email is required to have an unsubscribe link. So usually at the bottom of the email is a great way to be able to sort of, you know, clean things up and get things out of your inbox. That's a nice way to be able to sort of say, you know what, for those stores that you frequent, that typically barrage you with emails after you make a purchase, those stores that ask you for the email when you check out, it's an easy way to be able to sort of just let it go and not be tempted with things you don't necessarily need to purchase. Another advice would be to place a savings reminder on your card. You know, remind yourself to think through every purchase by covering your card with a savings message such as, quote unquote, do I really need this? You know, write the message on a piece of masking tape or colorful tape on your card, in the back of your card, and just make sure it's just a nice little reminder. As we all have New Year's resolutions, I should probably do this with, do I really want to eat this? Would be the same as we all try to lose a few pounds over the 2017. But it really is a savings reminder in your card. Do I really need this? Is a great way to be able to sort of stop that temptation. Another recommendation would be to, I'm a big fan of having help and community, making things accountable, and really participating in a local investment development account or an IDA program. Is a great way to be able to help. I mean, if your income is low, you may be eligible to participate in an IDA program where your savings are matched in return for attending a financial education session or planning to save for a home, education, business. You typically receive at least $1 for every dollar you save, and sometimes much more. And that means $25 saved each month could really become several hundred dollars by the end of the year. So you want to find an IDA program near you. You can find it at cfed.org. That's C, the letter C, fed.org/programs is a great place to be able to find an IDA program near you. And you can, of course, just Google it, but it is cfed.org. Is a great way if you're not making that much money. You might be eligible to get matching dollars. All right, so some of the other things we're going to talk about here as far as the 54 ways to save money on Money Matters with Greg. I'm Greg Farrell, CEO and president of Farrell Wealth and a licensed financial advisor in the financial advising world and trying to help people save money and put money away. We really started this show as a helpful way to educate and to add some financial literacy to those out there. Throughout the 2008-2009 Great Recession, I saw just a number of people having just troubles and finding and just knowing what to do and how to do things and what exactly was right. And really, that's why we started the show a couple years ago, was to just sort of help you save some of that money. And I hopefully we've done that in the last couple years, and looking forward to doing more as we move forward here in 2017. Big one that is really easier said than done. It's always sort of the Susie Ormans of the world or the Dave Ramseys of the world say fantastic things, and they teach as well some really good things. But usually their first thing they always say is stay out of credit card debt, pay off credit cards each month, and make sure that you're doing that. You know, the miles and cash back are only valuable if you're not falling into debt or paying interest. So that's an easy one. That's probably the most difficult. Yeah, sure, right, Greg. Yeah, that's you know, it's what you're going to say back is pay off credit cards. Of course, I want to pay off my credit cards each month, but it's very difficult to do. I think a lot of the people that get into the credit card debt that you get into overall. And you really find that it's more habit forming than anything else. I mean, using the 24-hour rule that we mentioned earlier, treating yourselves as an opportunity to save for yourself, and really calculating that purchase of hours worked instead of cost really help you try not to spend. But you want to start with a goal of reducing your credit card debt by just $1,000. Just get it down, you know, buy just that $1,000. That $1,000 debt reduction will probably save you $150 to $200 a year in interest, and much more if you're paying the penalty rates of that 20 or 30% that many of the credit card companies hit you with. You know, really use those ATMs that your bank or credit union allows you to use. Using an ATM of other financial institutions once a week might seem like no big deal, but you know, if it's costing you $3 each withdrawal, that's more than $150 over the course of the year, and that stinks. I mean, it really does add up. So you want to be able to make sure that you're just being diligent about the fact that there's more than enough ATMs out there. You really don't need to be hit by that charge. It's your money. Why the bank feels as though it can charge you is why banks do what they do. So make sure you're just cognizant of the fact that you're going to the right places. Always want to check your credit report for free once a year. You can use your annual free credit report from three credit reporting bureaus to look for inaccuracies or opportunities or kind of raise your score. Credit scores are used by loan providers, landlords, and really everybody else to determine what they'll sell you and for what price. For example, low credit score can increase the cost of a 60-month $20,000 auto loan by more than $5,000 a year. So learn more about your credit score as much as you possibly can, and make sure that you're going to get your free credit report once a year. There's a number of sites out there that I find are more frustrating for people than others. Many of the sites out there on the websites when you go to check your free credit report are not free at all. They make you enroll in a number of different things, and they charge you a fee. But if you go to the top three sites, the Equifaxes of the world, and you go just Google those top ones, just don't go to any of the advertised ones. They're going to charge you money. You are allowed to get a free annual credit report every year from one of those three credit reporting agencies. You can get one from each one if you want and see if there are any differences. So you can go to each one. So that's just something to think about. Another recommendation is paying all your bills on autopay. This really ensures that they're paid on time and in full to avoid any late charges. And really, as a bonus, some loan providers offer a small interest rate reduction if you enroll in autopay nowadays. So if you set your budget and you know exactly how much money's coming in, how much income's coming in, you can really get on a tight schedule as to how those bills are auto-paid. Always want to be able to get some free debt counseling that's out there. Really, the most widely available help in managing your debt is from the Consumer Credit Counseling Services. You can find a counselor at CCCS. The CCCS network is a nonprofit group of counselors that can work with you confidentially and judgment-free to help you develop a budget, figure out your options, and really negotiate with creditors to kind of repay your debts as well. The best of all, there's a 40 to 90 minute counseling session that's free of charge that comes with no obligations. And you can get started at nfcc.org / locator to find the nearest counseling session that is free of charge with no obligation that's local to you. It is a nonprofit, and I highly recommend you go to it. It is the Consumer Credit Counseling Services, and you find a counselor. Another way to sort of help you if you're still having trouble is really freezing your credit. Look, if you're having trouble controlling your credit card use and you don't want to cut up credit cards in case you need it at some point, and really we recommend not in regards to your credit scores, not canceling credit cards, but just not using them and paying down the debt, you can freeze your credit card in a bag of water, and you need to thaw that card in order to force yourself to really consider that purchase before you want to make it. So literally freeze your credit card. It's a great way to be able to just stick the credit card in a glass of water. And the only way you're going to get it out of there is to basically have to thaw it. So it's a great way to be able to kind of help yourself. We're talking 54 ways to be able to help you save some money here, and it comes from americasaves.org. It's a fantastic informational discussion just about some of the things that might actually help you save some money here and savings tips. Let's talk about entertainment. Everybody loves to let's have some fun out there and see if we can save some money in entertainment. Still have some fun. But one quick way would be taking advantage of your library. I know here in Valparaiso, Indiana, our library is fantastic and only getting better. And more libraries are offering ebooks, so you don't really need to visit in person anymore. Many libraries are also part of an intra-library loan system where you can borrow anything you want. If they don't have it, there might be a minimum shipping charge. So you just ask. And libraries allow you to borrow things like tools and sewing machines. It's amazing some of the things you're able to borrow over time. So you really want to look into your local library as the borrowing system and see if they have anything available to you to be able to use some of these things. If you're having a project, you don't have to necessarily go out and buy some piece of machinery. Some sort of thing like a sewing machine, you can literally just borrow it and then return it to your local library. You also want to get unadvertised for. Let's have a little fun and go to the theater. There are unadvertised theater discounts. You can call, you can email, or you can even tweet your nearby theater to ask about discounted options that are often really never advertised. Many theaters offer discounted seats for seniors, students, young adults, such as a pay your age or pay what you can program, and they'll offer rush discounts for unsold seats immediately before a show as well. You just want to contact your local theater, especially if it's just down the road, and you want to be able to travel and get out and watch that new show or that new It is extremely expensive and adds up. I know myself in having a father or being a father and having kids, it's amazing how expensive even 3D shows have become. Always look for the matinee, and you always want to look. You don't necessarily need to go to a 3D show unless you want to save up and go to that special show. It never hurts to just go to the regular show, especially if you don't necessarily need to see the 3D. But you know, those are more expensive by $3 to $4 a ticket. So you just want to be able to think about those sorts of things. Another way for entertainment is to really volunteer at local festivals. I mean, cultural festivals and events often offer free admission to all event volunteers. You want to contact the organizers of your favorite event to ask sort of on those volunteers, opportunities, and benefits. And you can go to the event. You can have fun at the event. I mean, everything from local brew fest festivals to marathons and runs. If you volunteer, you can really get out and actually enjoy culture as we know it, art festivals, wine festivals, all those different types of festivals need volunteers and need help. And if you volunteer early, you know, they can, they have usually a set budget for volunteers to be able to enjoy the entire festival, help with the festival, and then after you're done with your shift, with helping out, you can certainly enjoy the benefits of that festival. So always like to be able to recommend going out and trying to find and going to those cultural festivals and trying to figure out how I might be able to get free admission. Family and friends. Let's talk about some friendly tips here as far as family and friends savings tips. Always best to create a family spending limit on gifts. Discussing placing spending limits on gifts within your family it really is where you only purchase one gift for one person over the holidays, and these limits tend to reduce expenditures that can be greatly appreciated by family members with less financial flexibility. I mean, you know, a $20 spending limit or a $10 spending limit per kid for all those nieces and nephews, or even doing a Secret Santa type situation where you draw names. You just want to be able to plan that gift giving in advance, and that'll give you time to decide on the most thoughtful gifts as well, which are usually not the most expensive ones. I was fortunate enough to receive a gift this year that I have to say is probably one of my favorite gifts I've ever received, and it was a memory jar. My kids put together a number of different things and memories that they know of me and the things that I've helped them with, sayings I've said. Some of them were, downright funny and humorous. And they just put them on a piece of paper and put it in the jar, and I'm supposed to go to that jar every time I'm feeling I need a little pick-me-up. Just go to the jar, and that's, you know, that is the cost of the jar is a big old mason jar and a ribbon. So probably one of the most thoughtful gifts I've ever been given, and the cost was extremely minimal. So highly recommend you plan your gift giving in advance. And if these gifts are products that really must be purchased, you have an opportunity to kind of look for the sales for those that are out there overall. Another thing that is a great way for family and friends is to start for saving for college at a baby shower. You know, it's never too soon to start a college savings account for any child. And when you have that baby shower, you can certainly ask for contributions to a college fund instead of clothing and toy gifts for your new baby that might not even fit or baby might grow out of quicker than you can possibly imagine, which is certainly the case in our feral household, that the babies grow real fast and real big. So they're on their way, and before you know it, all the clothing you just received and all the diapers and everything else are just basically donated to charity because you can't use them. But another thing is just, and we had a great show here with Robert Ordway, who's a local clother here locally, talking about clothes. You know, don't buy cheap just for cheap's sake. I mean, it sometimes makes sense to kind of prioritize the quality over price when purchasing clothes for the family. I mean, an inexpensive shirt or a coat is really a poor bargain for older family members if it wears out in less than a year. It could make sense for, you know, quickly growing children for sure, but, you know, consider the fabric, the stitching, the washability, and the other quality related factors when you're selecting clothes. We had a on the show when we were talking with Robert, he was just talking about investing in yourself, and it really is an investment as you get older that you're investing in clothes that are going to wear well and that you're not going to necessarily be wearing threads as you go out through the days. Another the thing that you might be able to organize with your family and your neighborhood is you organize a neighborhood swap meet. This is kind of how it works. You gather your friends and neighbors with kids around the same age, and everyone kind of brings gently used clothing, books, school supplies, toys, you name it. And everyone receives a ticket for each item they bring. Each ticket entitles you to kind of one item from the swap meet. And if you contribute 6 books, you can leave with up to 6 new-to-you books. If you contribute 7 items of clothing, you can leave with up to 7 new-to-you items of clothing. Now, all of these leftover items are donated by the friends and families in those neighborhoods. So it's kind of a fun way to be able to kind of have a swap or a flea market, which is always nice to be able to see things that are new. Now, you can pick those things up if you like or not, or just donate and not necessarily expect anything back. That's fine, too. But it's always nice to be able to organize a neighborhood swap meet. Maybe someone you know in the neighborhood would be willing to be able to kind of help you out, get organized, and you do that once a year. Another once a year or even once a week recommendation is to designate one day a week as a no-spend day. Reserve one night a week for family fun, free family fun. You know, cook at home, plan out free activities such as game night, watching a movie or going to the park for designated no-spend days. And I'm a big fan of that. That's a lot of quality family time that you can certainly use. Let's talk about, since we're talking about food there, real quick, I want to talk about some of the food savings tips before we run up here at the end of the hour. Food saving tips. I mean, brown bag your lunch. The reason you hear this tip so much is that it really works. I mean, if buying lunch at work costs $5, but making lunch at home costs $2.50, then in a year, really, you can afford to create a $500 emergency fund if you still have money left over, and still have money left over overall. So, you know, everybody needs to eat. Everybody wants to be able to eat well. But anymore, I mean, lunch at work doesn't even cost $5 anymore. I mean, it's usually $10, between $7 and $10 to get a reasonable lunch. You can make that and save that as much as possible. You really need to commit to eating out, you know, fewer times each month. And the local proprietors here are probably not going to be too happy with this comment, but you save money without sacrificing your lifestyle by taking small steps to kind of reduce your dining budget. You know, start off with reducing the amount you eat out by just once per month, and see how that goes and see how you're able to save a little bit of money overall. Always want to plan your meals in advance and really stick to a list while grocery shopping. Look, people who do the food shopping with a list and buy little else spend much less money than those who decide to buy when they get the food at the market. You know, the annual savings could easily be hundreds of dollars and maybe even thousands if you're not doing that impulse buy. Always have a list. And now with your smartphones and your ability to be able to add lists to your phones, highly recommend you always shop by with a list, and then you always want to shop by unit price. Look, many grocery stores list the cost per unit of each item, such as a price per ounce or pound, and use these stickers when comparison shopping on the same product, just in a different size. It really helps to make sure that you're spending wisely. Another recommendation when you're looking to go out there and spend money on food is to stick to water. You know, it's a standard in the restaurant industry to mark up the cost of alcohol by 3 to 5 times. So an easy way to cut down on your restaurant spending without changing your habits is really to just drastically to skip the beverages and the alcohol and the non-alcoholic beverages if you can. And then Saving time and money by doubling the recipe is another thing to do. Look, next time you make a family favorite, you know, double that recipe and freeze the leftovers for another day. This is one of our favorite things to do as a Farrell family. We do it all the time. And, you know, that way you get two meals out of one and you really use the ingredients more efficiently, have much less waste overall. And, you know, aluminum pans of varying sizes can be purchased on the cheap, especially when you buy in bulk and you make freezing and, you know, reheating a total snap overall, which is a great idea. Real quick on health. I want to be able to talk quickly here in the last couple minutes, health savings. Look, don't skimp on preventative health care. Look, routine dental checkups, for example, will help prevent fillings, root canals, dental crowns, which are all expensive and they're no fun. I mean, nobody wants that, right? So don't skimp on preventative health care and also taking care of yourself, working out, making sure you're investing in yourselves as much as possible. On the healthcare side, you also want to go to generic. You want to ask your physician if the generic prescription drugs that you have that are out there are a good option for you. Generic drugs can cost several hundreds of dollars less, and certainly will be able to help you save some money. And then do a comparison shop on those prescription drugs that you do have to use and don't come in generic form. You know, don't just rely on the closest drugstore just because the cost to you can vary significantly from pharmacy to pharmacy. You really want to be digging in on that. And then also purchase store brand over the counter medications. I mean, store brand medications often cost 20 to 40% less than nationally advertised brands. And they're the exact same formula. So why pay a premium when you're paying on a brand name that's really nothing but you're only paying for the marketing? We have a number of house savings tips, transportation tips overall, but we've run up against the end of the hour. Wanted to be able to get to those, but we're going to have to save those for a later time. If you want to find them, you can find them at americasaves.org and look to see that the 54 ways to save money for your family is listed, and for yourself. Just go find it and follow it. Make a plan, work the plan, and get better at saving some money, put some money away for yourselves and for your family. This show's Money Matters with Greg. I'm Greg Farrell, CEO and President of Farrell Wealth. It's a financial advising firm here in Valparaiso, Indiana, and also with clients all over the nation. We help a number of clients, help them save their money, put money away, invest their money, and make sure that they grow and create wealth, and then they protect and preserve their wealth for future generations. Happy to be here today on this happy Monday, and another Monday here in January as we move along here in the Midwest. Thanks for tuning in. I really appreciate WVLP 103.1 FM for all their hard work. Thanks to Greg Kovach for engineering today after his horrible loss by the Steelers. I appreciate him being in here very much so today on this Monday. It was definitely a long evening for him yesterday, but we'll persevere. We'll move forward. He is undefeated for next year. The Steelers are undefeated for next year, just like my Chicago Bears. Hope everyone's well. I hope I was able to be some sort of help for you today and add some value to you and your families. You can find us at Farrell Wealth on Twitter. You can find us on Facebook as well. And also make sure you check out the website, farrellwealth.com, for a number of different insights on financial literacy and helpful hints to save you some money. With that, I want to thank everybody out there for listening and watching on or seeing on Facebook. And also want to be able to make sure that we have a fantastic week. With that being said, we will talk to you next week. Have a great one.
Greg Farrell is the president, CEO of Farrell Wealth, and is a registered representative with and securities offered through LPL Financial. Member FINRA, SIPC insurance products offered through LPL Financial or its licensed affiliates. The opinions of Greg and his guests are merely opinions. All individuals should get their proper advice investing and managing their personal finances. Money, get back. I'm on fire, Jack. Keep your hands off of mine.